Greetings, Overcomers.ca. The Royal Ephod, Chapter 25, The Amethyst Stone. Fathom the depths of Christ's blood. Amethyst, having powers of cure from intoxication, that is, to relieve from the influence of evil spirits and personal iniquity, self-will. Amethyst refers to Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, our resting place. To be whole or complete is another translation of this word, Shalom. It also is used when vowing a vow unto the Lord, Jehovah Shalom. When we vow a vow, we expect peace, but it is only found in our abiding trust in the Father to fulfill His will in us. Deuteronomy 23:21 and Psalm 16:8. Philippians 3:20-21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The Jonathan Mitchell translation says it this way: "For our citizenship, result of living in a free city or commonwealth, realm of a free city, political realm, continues inherently existing, continuously subsists, repeatedly, has its underbeginning, resident within the midst of the heavens, from out of where, which place, we continually receive, take away with the hands, forth, from out of, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure, refashion, remodel our body of the low condition and status of the humiliation to conformed to the body of his glory, or to having the same form together with his body of that which calls forth praise, to a joint form of the body of his good reputation, down from, in accord with, the inward operation, energy in working, of the conditions or situation for him, to continuously be able, have power, also to subject, to subordinate, to arrange under, so as to have full control, the whole, all things, everything, in himself, to himself, for himself." That was Philippians 3:20-21 in the excellent Jonathan Mitchell translation. The blood that our Lord Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary has a depth of meaning through the amethyst stone upon the royal ephod. The blood of Christ, to the overcomer, becomes something more than simple atonement for sin. The blood becomes the very life of their Lord within them. Now we have come to a true depth in God that is unsurpassed by human understanding. The truth of these things has been kept from carnal minds for eons of time, because the natural man cannot receive the things of God, neither can the carnal mind know them. Lucifer has not the covering of the amethyst stone, because he cannot understand that Christ would accomplish a resurrection. This one, who alone was the only begotten Son of God, seemed to perish a horrible death. But that death was the undoing of the carnal mind. For out of that impossibility, God raised an entire new creation. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, Romans 6:9. The amethyst stone represents to us life that can never pass away, but oh, so much more. This now becomes a miracle in the life of an overcomer, for only an overcomer will experience what God is about to do. God is going to change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto Christ's glorious, raised from the dead body. This is just before us, dear overcomers. In fact, I am going to make a bold statement. God cannot fulfill the rest of his word to this creation and to complete the salvation Christ wrought unless he glorifies his overcomers. And not just that, but God cannot bring forth the age of his kingdom according to his ultimate purpose unless his overcomers are abiding in glorified flesh. Put out of your mind, dear reader, dear overcomers, that this has been a long, hard road, that we have waited our lifetime to see his fullness come. I am declaring to you that it is at the door. The time of our manifestation is nigh. God is about to do one miracle that will set apart the overcomer from the rest of humanity, and that is that he is about to exchange our fleshly, earthly blood body of red and white corpuscles for the very blood of Jesus Christ himself. And I will read that again. And that is that he is about to exchange our fleshly, earthly blood of red and white corpuscles for the very blood of Jesus Christ himself. That blood, that vast, unfathomable depth of the life of Christ, that vast, infinite supply of blood that is in God's holy reservoir beside the throne of his majesty, is about to replace our human blood in our veins. This is not just wishful thinking. This is a fact. God's promise to us is full manifestation in glorified bodies. And to do that, our veins and hearts must pump the blood of Jesus. Weird, you think? Think it not. For God has promised us the fullness of our inheritance. That is a glorified body. Joel 3:21 says, "And I will cleanse their blood which I did not cleanse, and Jehovah is dwelling in Zion." Translation of the Bible, Zion, the kingdom of his anointing. Note this, dear overcomer. There has never been the like before. This is the army of the Lord. This is the overcoming troop. We are the ones who, like Jesus before us, will have the glorified life of Christ in our very veins. Now the question you may be asking is, Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and that blood fell to the ground. How can you say that we will have his blood flowing in our veins? Because his blood is a blood that the earth cannot know, that Lucifer cannot have, that mankind cannot understand. His blood is now spirit substance. It is the light of glory flowing in the veins of Christ's resurrected body. It is light that is of eternal life, the life of the ages. This is the blood that, by the animation of God's Spirit, caused Christ's dead body in the stone tomb to come alive, to fill his veins, to fill his heart, to fill the mind of Christ, blood of a new order, of a new spirit substance that belongs only to the second Adam. This is the blood that caused his once dead body to pass through the linens of the death cloths and to be clothed upon with the garments of eternal life and victory, to rise in life that cannot die in the same body, but now animated by the life of this blood. Blood that cannot be brought to anything but the life of God himself. It is the blood of the new creation. Prophecy over Kenneth B. Visscher, quote, "And yea, my son, pray, my son, for humility. Pray for this, my son, for I shall indeed call thee as a mighty servant of God, yea, even as Elijah of old. Fear thou not, for this, yea, even as a royal cloak, I am placing upon thy shoulder. Yea, this mantle of my anointing, yea, this purple mantle shall not leave thee, for thou shalt continue to be humble in my sight, and thou shalt continue to serve God in obedience, taking each day at a time, even as thou shalt be afflicted. Even at times thou shalt feel weak, thou shalt have pain to bear. But I say unto thee that thou shalt be identified with Christ. Yea, even as he walked upon this earth, he did bear the weight and the burden of sin. Yea, he did pray in the times of fasting and prayer before his God. Yea, and the Lord Jesus Christ thy Lord did fast and did die to self, yea, and overcame. And yea, thou shalt indeed follow this pattern, son, for he is thy pattern. And as thou shalt keep thine eyes, yea, firm upon the Lord Jesus Christ, yea, I say unto thee, that the power that is in the power of the blood of Jesus, yea, shall flow through thy veins, and yea, thou shalt experience this flow. The power that is in the blood of thy Savior is in thee also, and thou shalt experience this flow as a mighty river of God. Yea, and as thou shalt reach out to others in faith and lay hands upon them, the gifts of the Spirit shall flow through thee, and yea, thou shalt speak a word of prophecy, yea, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation shall flow through thee, and the word of wisdom and counsel shall come through thee, and thou shalt not falter, and thou shalt not stumble, for it is the Lord thy God within thee that doth speak. Thy tongue shall be the tongue of the learned, and thou shalt speak a word of revelation, yea, even the mystery of the kingdom of God, thou shalt speak to my people. Yea, for I have called thee to be as one that would preach the kingdom of God. Yea, I have chosen thee as a son, yea, where thou shalt arise and go forth with thy wife. Yea, hand in hand, thou shalt walk as a oneness in me. Fear thou not, for thou shalt indeed be an overcomer. And yea, keep thou humble in my sight, saith thy God, and pray for godly fear, for thou shalt walk, yea, softly before thy God. For he has done this miracle, yea, he has done such a wonderful miracle within thyself, yea, that thou shalt share thy testimony, even as an overcomer. Thou shalt share this testimony, and many lives shall be touched by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for thee. End quote of prophecy over Kenneth B. Visscher. Picture this, dear overcomer, who peruses these pages. See Jesus, impaled upon the cross, and go look very closely at the nails that pierce his hands and his feet. See how his limbs bleed profusely as the natural life of his body atones for this fallen creation. Note his sufferings and his grief as he bears the atonement needed for this creation to be set free from the fall. We are told that Christ's precious blood atoned for our sins, that our sins are washed away. We are told that he ended the old creation and brought forth a brand new creation. We know that he never suffered alone, as Christendom tries to teach, because God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 20. But may I also reveal that during his sufferings and the loss of his blood, he shared this with those that who would overcome? There is a depth in this that I desire to reveal that belongs to those who obey God in all things and who would overcome all things, who desire to be found in him perfect in all things. And it is that with every drop of blood lost, with every bit of his natural life lost, the mystery of Christ was wrought out in a company of people called the Overcoming Company. This company shares in the blood loss that Jesus experienced in a very unique and precious way. For the overcomer, every trial is a loss of their blood. Every testing is a loss of their natural blood. Every time a circumstance arises which limits their life in this present fallen world, the overcomer loses yet another drop of their life in this world. They too, like Jesus, spill their blood through trials and testings. They lose their identity with this world. They die to this world. They partake in the sufferings of Christ in this unique and precious way. Every time you are faced with a problem, dear overcomer, you are losing a part of your life in this world, which is passing away. And every time you gain victory through that trial, you are partaking of the new life of Christ that is found now with the blood of the new creation, the blood that now animates through the veins of Christ Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. There comes to the overcomer a fathomed depth of suffering that the overcomer alone with Jesus only can share. There is a fellowship in this suffering with the Lord that is more precious than all the wealth of this world, more precious than belonging to any system found in Christendom, a valued space that is envied by anyone who sees the overcomer there. And that is that the overcomer, abiding in the sufferings of Jesus, of Christ with Jesus, shares in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the knowledge which no words can explain, that reveal the anointing of God upon the overcomer. The peculiar anointing that an overcomer bears distinguishes them from nominal Christianity. This anointing is an anointing shared by the Lord with his overcomers when they come to that place of bleeding with Jesus upon the cross, or rather, when they accept the fact that they are dying to this world. When this becomes in them a calling, they partake of a peculiar anointing. They begin to be anointed to bear the truth of God as pure vessels, and they begin to see their life in this world as lives that would atone for creation in such a way as to set creation in time into liberty. They partake of the mystery of Christ in a way that no other person can know. For the overcomer has shared intimately with the loss of blood that Jesus experienced by suffering the very same way. Not a literal crucifixion, but a literal dying to this world and all that is in it. That the world becomes a dead thing to them, and they become dead to the world. This will distinguish the overcomer apart from the rest of mankind, whether in their religion or otherwise. For the overcomer, when looked upon, will bear the marks of crucifixion. They bear the marks of those who have been impaled, who have lost their very lives by willing sacrifice. Galatians 6:14 Amplified says, "But far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Not only so, but the overcomers in company become Melchizedek priests, one who have no beginning of days nor ending of life. They prove what I spoke earlier in this writing, that they have exchanged their blood for the blood of the new risen Lord. They have the blood that coursed through Jesus' veins when he was raised from the dead, now as their light and life in them. As Melchizedek priests, they minister to God the things pertaining to God, and to man the things pertaining to man. They are set in this unique place in the earth as those worthy of bearing the name and the mantle of God himself. These bear the perfect ephod of God, the life of the ages, to bring forth all that God is, until God becomes all in all humanity, all in all. This is a spiritual calling, a spiritual blood, a new creation that does not have coursing through it the mystery of iniquity that works in the old creation. This blood I speak of, the new creation blood, always has been. It is the life of God. It is the spirit substance of God. And by a miracle of his creative power, this blood will animate in time all creation. For now, however, it will animate first and those who are destined to be named overcomers, those who are peculiar treasures unto the Lord, who have made up and filled up the sufferings of Christ. These who have partaken intimately with Christ in his sufferings will share first in the life of his glory. Our literal blood that now flows in these bodies of flesh will change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed into glorified flesh, bodies that will never die. This must be for the next purposes of God in his agenda to be fulfilled. His agenda, to bring all creation into the liberty of his sons and daughters, the end of the fallen creation. Note the royal color of the amethyst stone. This royal purple color, this mantle of his anointing, will not leave the overcomers. But they, for now, taking each day at a time, will await until their change comes. They are the royal priesthood. They bear the mantle of Elijah and the covering of Moses. They have no beginning of days nor ending of life. This company of overcomers is but a small troop, a small company that seems to be of no significant value in the world, but they are the ones whom God has chosen to bear his name, Acts 15:4. Ah, the royal purple amethyst stone. How precious its place in the royal ephod. How magnificent its depth of color and its texture as smooth as light. It animates with the lights of creation that have gone into it, and it holds forth those lights as shimmering examples of hope fulfilled. This stone cannot possibly cover Lucifer, the one who bears false light, because there is no life in Lucifer. This stone represents the very life of God as a new blood in a new creation. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.